and welcome to
You Haven't Seen.
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley.
This is a podcast where we watch movies everyone has seen but us, and then we talk about them. And today we are watching a movie that I have not seen, which is Leon the Professional.
Yes. Directed by Luc Besson. It came out in 1994. It stars Jean Reno, Gary Oldman, and Natalie Portman in her first feature film role.
Was it her first?
It was, yeah. That's what IMDb says.
Oh, okay.
First feature film.
Cool. As far as, like, what I know about this movie, I know who's in it. Like, those three. Well, actually, I didn't realize Gary Oldman was in it.
Yeah.
I knew the other two. And I knew that he's an assassin and teaches her. And I'm basing my knowledge off of, like, images. I know at one point she dresses up as people.
Uh-huh.
And they're, like, playing charades or something. And based off of that, I was like, I can't tell if there's also, a Lolita thing going on.
So you
along with, like, the teaching her how to do stuff. But, like, I don't think so.
You think this is a family-friendly film?
Oh, no, absolutely not. But I can't tell what the nature of their relationship is.
Yeah.
But that's all I know about it. And apparently Gary Oldman's in it, so now I'm excited because I love him.
Gary Oldman is in this, and Gary Oldman...
That's never bad news.
No, but in this, it's like, Gary Oldman, you know, like, how in movies he's normally... He either gives a very restrained performance, or he just lets loose.
Okay.
This is, like, him just overacting and letting loose times 100.
When did this come out? 94?
94, yeah.
Okay. So I was 3.
All right. So right
no,
up your
I'm
alley.
Just like trying to, because I always forget what he looks like when he's young is the thing.
Gary Oldman?
Yeah.
Oh, I was like, genre now it looks
no,
the same.
No, he looks the exact darn same, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
But
there's not much to know about this film. We can go over taglines.
Yeah. Let's do that. I'm trying to find them. Hold on. Sorry. Okay, here we go. Oh, there's a lot.
I know, there's like a paragraph.
I know, I don't think that's a song. Okay. If you want a job done right, hire a professional. It's like, okay.
A professional hitman, an innocent witness, and a corrupt detective who went too far.
Oh. Oh, I have to read the paragraph?
Or we can each do one in sentence.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
All right.
A perfect assassin.
An innocent girl.
They have nothing left to lose except each other.
He moves without sound.
Kills without emotion.
Disappears without a trace.
Only a 12-year-old girl
knows his weakness.
Ooh. Oh my gosh. Hold on, there's a car alarm. Okay.
Alright, there's an Australian tagline, which is, revenge is a tough game, even for a professional.
You can't stop what you can't see.
I feel like these taglines are kind of making it seem like Leon is, like, the Terminator?
Yeah, I was going to say, this makes sense. Like, this has raised my expectations
right.
for this man as an assassin. Where I just really thought that he was kind of like a one-man game here. But apparently he's, like, gosh, just MVP of assassins.
Right.
Let's watch it.
Yeah.
Okay. We're back. We've watched The Professional, and I just want to say in terms of, like, I did not expect to feel as many emotions as I did while I was watching it. My heart grew 3 sizes.
I have seen this film numerous times, but watching it with you, and just, there were so many times you were just like, and just the, oh, he's so sweet, oh, no, did he hit her? He hit her.
Oh, baby.
No.
This in Leon and Matilda, both of them, I was like, oh baby, like, oh precious, oh keep him safe. Like, just want to give them both a big old hug.
It was
like,
really
wrap them up in a blanket and sit them down. I am not like a maternal person.
No.
Really?
No.
Usually I don't care this much.
No.
But I did. I think it surprised everyone.
Yes, and the fact that I was just so like, that's the first 5 minutes.
Like,
really?
Oh, my poor babies.
I think, I was like,
my little professionals.
No, we should have probably just chose another movie halfway through.
No, I loved it though. I was like, oh my god, this is like the music in this? A plus.
Really?
Like, yeah, suspense wise, I was like, oh gosh, I love this. I also, just in terms of like things that surprised me, really thought this was set in Europe. Because he's not American, and like then now that I'm like, oh, Gary Oldman's in it, like it's obviously set in France or you know London or somewhere, and I was like,
Europe.
Yeah, just big. I was expecting like big European city, right. And like man, American Gary Oldman always.
I love American.
Me,
out. Oh no, I love American like, Gary Oldman.
I love him as an actor.
Mm-hmm.
The pill taking thing was weird. He was either like 105,000% or like good, like in like yes. the sweet spot. But then it was just like, whoop, like every once in a while he would go like way up there. And I'm like, Gary, what are you doing? But then he would like bring it back down. So I was like, I want to know what's in those pills.
They're acting pills.
No, I'm just like, whenever I watch a movie with drugs.
Uh-huh.
And they take some, like, nondescript thing. Mm-hmm. I'm always sitting there like, but what's in it, though? I'm trying to understand. Like, but what did you just take?
Where you are mentally, so.
I just want to know what you took.
I don't know where to start, because you love this so either. Much.
I did. I really like this movie.
So, this is Natalie Portman's first film.
Mm-hmm.
She's like 12 years old.
Yeah.
I think she was 11 when she got cast. Okay. So, you know, rounding the outs. I will say she is incredible in this movie.
She's so good.
And half the time I was like, that's 20-year-old Natalie Portman. Like, I was like, oh, she's 11.
She's so, oh my gosh, she's just so good.
Yeah.
I was just like, oh my god. And she's so small. Just, like, she's just so, so tiny. But then she talks and she's like a grown-up person, and then she'll just go back to, like, skipping down the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
At the whiplash of it, I was just, like, this is an amazing performance.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, this girl.
I feel like that first scene, because the first time you see Matilda, she's sitting on the stairwell.
Yeah,
smoking. And then she goes from, like, Leon catches her, and she goes from, like, hey, like, I'm just smoking, like, hey, mister.
What did she say? Like, don't tell my dad, Eric. I got enough problems.
Right. This building's full of rats. Don't tell the old man.
Yeah.
And then the next sentence, she's like, yeah, but seriously, don't tell my dad. Like,
yeah, she just switch.
Just to go from that, like, no, I'm really cool. Like, I'm an adult. Like, I'm going to sit at the big kids' table. And then immediately to go, like, but no, seriously, don't get me in trouble.
Oh, my gosh. This was great. Well, because doesn't it? It opens, the opening sequence is him on a job, Leon.
Yes.
And that whole sequence, I was like, this is so good, because, well, first of all, the milk thing was weird.
Okay, here's the thing. I have a thing about when people drink milk in movies.
Uh-huh.
I have a thing. When I see people drinking milk in movies, mm-hmm. I assume they are a bad guy. I don't know why. I'm just like, there's something I don't like about you. There's something that is wrong.
When it's a grown man drinking a glass of milk,
bad things are going to happen.
Yeah, there's something wrong there. Right. There's something. Like, it does kind of put me on edge, because I'm like, okay, what's this guy's deal? Why is he drinking milk?
Like in Winter Soldier, Robert Redford just like is drinking milk. Like, it's like, oh, you're so cool.
And he had such a thing with it. But just since that was like the first really thing that you learn about Leon, right, is like, this man drinks milk. I'm like, what is up with this guy?
I feel like the milk signifies, I feel like the milk makes him so much more childlike.
Yeah.
And it like drives it home in a way that I'm like, kind of like if you put a girl in a baby doll dress.
Well,
I'm like,
okay,
oh.
Well, because just in terms of, let's talk about him as a character. Because this is as good of arc as I need to, you know, lead this episode of. But the thing about him when I was like, this is it, I'm like, kill me now, I think I wrote in my notes like dead gone, was when he went to the theater and was watching the movie.
Yeah, he was watching the one where Gene Kelly sings on roller skates.
Yeah.
Which I can't remember.
I don't remember which one that was.
But I've seen it.
Yeah, I have not seen that one.
Can't Help But Fallen in Love, I think, is the song he's singing. Or it feels like I've fallen in love. I don't know.
Anyway, but he's watching a Gene Kelly movie, and he's in an almost empty theater. And you never see this, you just see him go through his monotonous life, and then he goes and he sits down, and his face, he's just so, like, unbridled childlike just joy and wonder. And then he turns around like he wants to talk to someone and be like, look at this, isn't it cool? And the only other person in the theater is like sleeping in the back, and then he just turns back and, oh my gosh, Ashley, I was not prepared to love that man this much. Like, I was just gone. You heard me.
Oh, no.
I was a wreck. Just, oh my gosh, that killed it. Where I go, okay, I don't care if this man, because I was trying to figure out how I felt about him.
Right.
Because I was like, the milk thing's weird. Okay, he's an assassin. I don't know if he's going to be a pedophile later, because I still wasn't sure about that at this point. Like, thank gosh he's not. But, and then I was just like, I don't, like, it's too late. I'm going to love this man. I love this character. I was like, that did it for me. I goes, oh, he likes movies. Done. Gone.
Hello, handsome.
Oh, my gosh. That was the moment that killed it for me. I was like, all right, fantastic. No matter what this guy does, no matter what horrible things he does during the rest of this movie, I will love this man. And, gosh, goodness. Yeah, but then, and so it was killing me as he was, like, you know, he learns to read and starts, like, feel things. Right, and then he gets sloppy.
Okay.
He gets sloppy. All
right. I'm going to fill in some holes.
Okay.
There. So, Leon as a character.
Yeah.
Let's say he's, like, 35?
Yeah.
40?
Yeah.
French? I feel like he just came to this country. He works for the Italians.
Yeah, he works for the Italians.
You don't have to be Italian to work for the Italians.
No.
I mean, maybe you do. Surely he probably would have.
Clearly not in this universe. I'm not entirely sure what nationality he is.
I mean,
anyway, he works for the Italians.
Right. He cannot read.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure.
He's a really good assassin.
He is an amazing assassin.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if he just couldn't read English, read or write English, or if he couldn't read in general.
I think probably read or write English.
Probably.
I didn't even think about that, because I was just like, how does he not know how to read?
How has he lived his life? But he also said he didn't have time for teaching, so I think like maybe he was being taught, and then he got busy.
Oh, maybe.
But like, this dude is a one-man killing machine.
Yeah.
Like, when he goes after the first guy, which I'm kind of annoyed, because that's like the only time you see him in action until the end is when he is the first hit.
Yeah.
And then he, like,
I liked how it just go, make sure he understands.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, do you understand? Good. I was like, yep, he checked off that box.
Well, I like that it shows that this movie does a really good job of showing and not telling.
Yeah.
Where they're just like, you know that this guy doesn't kill women or children, because there's, like, the girl, there's the prostitute at the beginning, and he lets her go. Mm-hmm. So you know that, like, all right, no women or kids.
Yeah.
And then the mob boss, like, implies, like, make him understand. And he's just like, nope. No, like, extra, like, punches or anything. He's just like,
do you understand?
Right, like, yes, okay, done my job, goodbye.
And then, because they say, like, some things later, like the women and children thing,
right,
just to be like, just so we're clear, this is legitimately a rule, but they're never like, oh, you know, in the assassin lore,
right,
like, there's no monologuing where he's like, then this is why I don't kill kids. It's just like, no, he just doesn't kill
there's
them.
No, like, flashback to his, his past is hinted at, that something happened with a woman.
Yeah.
So he has
when
trouble.
When he first came to America or something.
Yeah.
And then why does Tony, is that the
Italian?
Yeah. Why does he hold on to all the money for him?
I think because he can't open a bank account.
I guess it's true. Because, like, halfway when he goes and is talking to his mob boss, you know, the guy who gives him the hits, and he's like, about
Daniel.
That money that I never see. I was like, he's not getting paid?
No, I mean, I really think that he has a... I mean, I feel like that's where they drive home that he has a child's mind.
Yeah.
Is with...
And then he just trusts Tony, like, give my money to this girl. All right, like, Matilda's taken care of. Like, Matilda is not taken care of.
Well, I feel like there's that Tony views him as his son. I think a little bit.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. I can see
that. Because he, like, took care of him and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, gave him a house and stuff. He does look after him.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's that mentality there.
Okay.
And if The Sopranos taught us anything, you take care of your own. So I feel like there's...
The Sopranos.
Well, if mom movies taught us anything, okay, you take care of your own. And you make sure your own's looked after.
Yeah.
But I am with you. I was like, I do think that's the part where you're like, oh, this guy's not all there, is when he's like, yes, I trust you to keep track of my money. I feel like money and milk are the two ones are. I'm like, oh, red flags.
I thought it was so fun. Because, okay, let's talk about how he acquires Matilda now, I guess. Because I want to talk about her later. But, so, she's his neighbor. And she's living with, like, two step-siblings and a stepmom and her dad.
Yes.
And the dad is, like, in,
a drug dealer.
Yeah, a drug dealer, and he's cutting it so it's less pure, and Gary Oldman's mad at him. He's like, I wasn't aware that, like, that character was a cop until a lot, like, later in the movie when it's like, oh, he's a corrupt cop in this whole shindig, too. Well, like, that sucks.
I think that's a good reveal, though, when he, like, finally is revealed to be a corrupt cop. Where you're like, oh.
Because then you realize just how deep of trouble they're in. It's like, you thought it was bad. It's worse.
Yeah.
Because they're the cops.
Right, because that's the thing. You're like, well, they have the cops on their side.
Speaking of cops, just jumping back really quickly to that first hit. When he calls 911, I was just kind of like, oh, sweetie. No.
And I thought
you're dead.
I don't think I've ever seen that before in a movie, and I haven't seen it since. When
he panics so bad that he just calls 911,
and it's like, there's someone trying to kill me. I found that this movie has some amazing jokes. But they're not like jokes.
Yeah, they're it's not just jokes. Like, it's just like, oh,
this is no. It's just funny.
Yeah, that's really cute how you thought that would work. But, okay, so anyway, the corrupt cops are angry at Matilda's dad. And then he's like, hey, I'm not cutting it. Like, it's not me. I don't know how it went from 100% to 90% while I was in my apartment. Like, oh, my God, I'm surprised about this, too. And then so they're okay, you have until noon tomorrow to find out who did do it. And then they show up at noon 01.
Yeah.
And are like, kill the stepdaughter, kill the...
Well, Gary Oldman walks in with a shotgun, blasts the mom in the tub.
Yeah.
Gives the stepdaughter running away in the back.
Yeah. That was a good sequence.
I mean, I'm very sorry that everyone died. It is like, beautifully shot, A-plus, though.
Yeah.
Because it's like, Gary Oldman takes his acting pills. And then, like,
I wish you wouldn't call them that. Anyway, he takes
whatever drug,
yeah.
And then,
mystery drug.
The mystery drug. And then the music starts. It's beautiful.
You should. It's, music A-plus in this.
Yeah.
And cinematography A-plus. And just, oh my gosh, it was so good. And then he starts talking classical music to Matilda's dad. Just being like, I like Beethoven. You must like Mozart. And I'm like, I don't think he does. I don't think, whatever.
But Mozart's too light.
Yeah, but so all this happens while Matilda is out getting groceries, and then that's when things go bad at the very end of the film, too. Like, when the police, apparently every single SWAT and policeman in Manhattan shows up at her and Leon's apartment in the very last sequence in the film. So I'm like, she just must be scarred, like, never gonna go out to get groceries again, because that's when everything terrible in her life happens.
Yeah, she must be so happy that Fresh Direct is around now.
Gosh. I know, Whole Foods delivers too. Matilda's living it easy. But, so like, she comes back and hears them saying that they killed her brother as she walks past the door. And so she just walks up to Leon's apartment. And oh my gosh, I was on edge. So, I mean, it's the beginning of the movie. I'm like, this is not, if this character dies, this is not it. Was still like, open the door! Leon, open the door! And she rings the bell like so many times. Oh my gosh. I was a wreck, but... And then...
No, that's the thing. Her Please Let Me In is one of the saddest things.
Yeah.
Where you forget... That's the moment where I feel like I'm like, oh my God, you're 12 years old.
Yeah, she's like, this is a kid. You let her in your apartment right now, mister. But, and then the cutest thing ever happens when he's talking to her, like, okay, you know, you've had a bad day. Like, what do I do with this kid? And to make her smile, he puts on the pig puppet. Oh, pig, my gosh.
It's an oven mitt.
Yeah, it's an oven mitt. Sorry, it's not a puppet. Where she, because she's, you know, finds out pretty darn quickly that he's a hitman, because she just happens, like, there's a briefcase on the table. She's like, but what's in here? And it's all his guns. So she comes out like, what do you do for a living? Bet I can guess. Like, you're a hitman, right? And then, so she asks him to, like, kill, like, straight off the bat, like, hey, awesome. I see how we can, like, make this work to both of our advantage. You get to do what you love, and I get to, like, have these people be dead.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh my gosh, when he put on the pig thing, I was so confused. I was like, what is happening? Because he goes, she's like, oh, talking about her stepmom and her stepsister and calling them pigs and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, there's a pig in the kitchen that doesn't smell. She's like, what are you talking about? And I'm sitting there going, what are you talking about? But... Okay, I'll stop rattling on about their relationship. I just was like, oh, guys. Until it got weird, it was really cute.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. I mean, I feel like it's open-ended, but...
Yeah. I don't think, because later, I'm going to live in my world where I don't think that when he told her that he loves her, uh-huh. that it was a romantic thing. Because no. I won't allow it.
Well,
what?
I was of the same opinion
yeah.
until I found out the director of this film
yeah.
based it on his relationship with his girlfriend, who he met when she was 11 and he was 32.
And when apparently, did that relationship happen? After she was not 11, I'm hoping? When did, do you know?
I think she was 15. Or 16.
No.
She's actually the first girl in the beginning.
She's the prostitute.
But they're not together anymore. I don't know. I feel like that might be an urban legend.
Okay.
But I know she has stated in interviews before where she's like, it was based on our relationship.
Oh, wow.
But I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I feel like anyone can say that movie's based on my relationship, but I don't think Luc Besson has ever come out and said, like...
Oh, okay. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, he totally wrote it about this relationship. But there's like an international cut.
Okay.
And in the international cut, it gets a little bit more explicit.
Oh, okay. I can see that. But
apparently when it was screened...
It's still like open-ended, though. Or is it like intimate?
There's never like...
Sexy time?
There's never bumpity-bumpities.
Oh, good. Okay.
I just think it's a little bit more. I think there's like a scene where Natalie Portman... Matilda specifically asks, like, do you want to be my lover?
Yeah. And what does he say?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I was like...
I haven't seen international.
The first, like, hints of it that you kind of see is when he's training her to be an assassin. And she's like, clearly doesn't like milk. Not amused with what's going on. Tired of sit-ups. And... She's like, let's play a game. Let's have fun. And then her game is like
that is
impressions,
weird.
Like charades. And she comes out and is Madonna. And he's like, I don't know what you're doing. And then she's like, when she dressed up as Marilyn Monroe, just the fact that she was singing like the happy birthday, Mr. President. I have this written down like Tina Belcher. Because that's exactly, I was just like, No, and his face, I wrote down, everyone's uncomfortable but her.
Yeah.
Because he's like, oh no.
There are a couple scenes where you just are like,
And then it doesn't go there. So
no.
Like, oh, thank God.
Right.
But it is so...
Oh, it's so close.
The most tense parts of... I mean, I was pretty tense.
Right.
Especially in that last stand-up, like, oh my God, what's going to happen? But the times I was the most tense and I was like, please no.
No. I feel like... I'm like... You could kill more people. 100%.
Yeah,
I'm there with you.
Oh,
just
gosh.
Please quit being with the kid.
When he was like pushing, trying like, okay, escape.
Yeah.
And I was like, don't kiss.
Well, yeah, and then like.
No.
Like she's laying on the bed and she's just like, I love you. And I was like,
nope. No, you do not. young Misty, you are confused because this man has become your entire world, and that is all.
This is like the thing that's going around where if Disney princesses had moms.
Yes!
It's just all these women being like, it's just a phase. That's Stockholm Syndrome.
I love that just coming to me like, she can't go outside? Fire right. Jafar!
Right. I think Jafar's messing with you. That's that. I feel like if Matilda had a mom, she'd be like, no! Like,
excuse me? Smoking in the hallway, Matilda. I have written down Matilda, no, like several times. Because they kind of, when Matilda's like, I can be an assassin, and he's like, okay, great, like, here's a gun and bullets, go. And then she just goes and fires out the window. How was that? I said, pretty damn poor, Matilda, just firing willy nilly into the street. So then they get kicked out of that apartment. And they go to this hotel and they pretend to be father and daughter. And they get kicked out of that apartment because Matilda confesses her love to him. And he is like, no thank you. And then goes away to do his job. And then she goes down and tells the hotel desk guy, like, he's not really my dad. He's my lover. Matilda, no.
That's the thing.
Stop it, Matilda.
I find it hard that her name's Matilda, because I'm like, no, Matilda's nice. I don't know if Matilda is a reliable narrator.
I don't think she is.
No.
No, well, I don't trust her.
This is the thing, like, I feel like she's a very interesting character in terms that she's just, she's 11, 12 years old. She's had, you know, she's been beaten.
She's been abused at home. Crummy life.
Right. She basically dropped out of school.
Yeah, what was up with that school? I was very confused. So, her dad apparently, like, paid for her tuition?
Yeah.
Or something? And then she ran away? I was very confused the nature of this.
School. Yeah, I would, because it seems like they have no money. But unless it was, like, one of those, like, you know, delinquent schools?
Maybe.
And they wanted, like, the thing is, I don't understand why Matilda hates being at home, except for her little brother.
Yeah.
And then is so, like,
quick to run away.
Right, from the school where she can live.
It must have been her little brother why she left.
Yeah.
She seemed to really love that kid. Cute kitty was smart, too. Hide under the bed. Good egg. But, I don't know. That whole school thing confused me.
Yeah.
So much.
And then she, like, comes back, and it's like,
because it's her only an option, right. Really. Tony was like, here's $100, come back in a month.
I thought that, too.
And I was just a little unclear, because he's like, come back, and the phrase, we'll have some fun, was dropped in there. I was like, is he going to pimp her out?
No. He said, because he said the same thing to Leon when he gave him a grand. He was like, here, have some fun.
Okay.
And he's like, it'll let you have some fun.
Okay.
So he kind of viewed it as an allowance kind of thing. Where he's
okay.
Like, come back, I'll give you money, and then you can have some fun.
Okay. I couldn't understand what he said, and I was like, oh my god. Tony, because like what we were talking about earlier, because I just assumed like, oh, okay, so he had kind of like adopted Leo now. He's just gonna like, it's gonna be the same deal. But then he said that, and I was just like, what?
No.
Happening.
I think he was just gonna give her like an allowance to have some fun.
Okay. So that makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
Much more in tune of what I thought his character was. Okay, good.
All that right. Was a weird third act.
Tony's not around. That's the thing where I was like, this is completely unexpected from this character, and I don't like it.
Poor Tony got the crap kicked out of him.
Yeah, that's true.
And now it's going to pimp out this poor little girl.
I was like, what? Yeah, anyway, so I'm glad that's not the case.
But it's still only $100 a month.
Yeah.
Which I was like, mm-mm. I was like, New York in the 90s was what I got to that much.
I will say about the whole New York thing, I love seeing grungy New York that doesn't exist anymore, but I also love how it's like, oh, I was there this morning. Because it's like when the police thing, I took the train in that metro stop that I was like, I was there an hour and a half ago. I'm not over it yet. Just, you know, it's like, I live there. It's still, I still have a whole ton of fun when I see, I was like, ha, I've been there. Like, I, you know, I worked there. Like, you worked.
Yeah.
They're one of the things that we saw. We're like, what? That's your street, Ashley.
Oh, there have been so many shoots outside my office. Yeah. And, like, I must be in every episode of The Blacklist. I'm like, I just want to go get coffee. And they just camped outside.
There was,
crazy. They've been there for, like, 3 weeks.
I think it was Empire shooting near us one time. And then there was, like, a 1950s era police car parked on the street. And it was just, like, in holding over there. And they had those, you know, two blocks, like, roped off because it was a period piece. And they couldn't even have people in the background. But it's, like, so annoying. That's the day I saw Rebel Wilson, actually, on a completely different shoot in a different neighborhood. Yeah.
But, no, I don't know. There's something about Soho. They must have, like, started to let hermits out.
Yeah, again, maybe. Because it's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous, but there's been, like, I can't even go to the gym anymore.
Yeah.
I'm like, stop.
Like, I'm not camera ready.
Right. All these kids, like, where are you going? I'm like, don't.
Yeah, I work here.
Like, son, don't. So, we touched base on this a little bit earlier. I do think this film has a very European feel to it.
Yeah.
Just, like, the costumes are very European. It's, like, Gary Oldman is, like, wearing, like, the nice tailored suit and with it open. And it's just very interesting because it is set in New York, but it doesn't feel like one of those New York mob movies. It feels very European.
And I really love that about it, too. Yeah. I was, like, I was trying to, like, get a hold on, like, what film movement it reminded me of, but I still haven't ID'd it. Trying to figure out, I was like, this feels European, but I can't quite figure out what movement it's, like, reminding me of, but it's definitely not, like, I was forgetting, like, oh, this was made in the 90s in America. It did not feel like that type of, like, that era of movie at all. And when you remember, like, oh, and this is kind of like a gangster film about an assassin, it didn't feel like that at all. And I really love that. Hey, Debbie, the editor here. I'm feeling like a film student failure right now because when I was searching for the film movement that this film reminded me of, I was completely forgetting that it is directed by, it's like it's actually in its own film movement. It doesn't remind me of anything because it's like, it reminds me of the category in which it is. Because Luc Besson is one of three French filmmakers who are associated with the film movement Cinéma du Look. My French is not good, but it's like Cinéma du Look. And this was a French film movement of the 1980s. Just a brief summary, established when a film critic classified Luc Besson with two other filmmakers, and these directors were said to favor style over substance, the style over substance and speculative over narrative, and it referred to films that had a slick, gorgeous visual style and focus on young, alienated characters. So while this was, everyone's like, oh, it's a film movement of the 80s, but just, I mean, Besson was one of the three directors who are heavily identified with this, and so even though Leon was released in 1994, it's still often grouped into this film movement. So, I misspoke when I said it reminded me of other things, because it is not at all any of those other things I was saying. Back to the podcast.
And, like, Natalie Portman's style, I mean, I would...
She looks like a little French girl.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, no kid in America.
No. No kid in America.
I mean, I did have the choker. I remember the chokers. Yeah. Those were big.
I mean, she looked like a little kid who lived in the 90s, but just, like, her manner of dress and stuff. I was like, no kid wore all of that. Right. You know? And then, like, I mean, later she does adopt some of his style with the cap and the sunglasses and stuff, but I liked how Leon had, like, a distinctive style, and you can tell it's, like, when he put the sunglasses on, it's like, okay, it's business time.
Yeah, like, that was his, like, cape.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that.
Like, okay, doing the job. Here we go, and then we took the glasses off, and he's like, he could just be himself. Like, because he only seemed to have the one set of clothes.
Yeah.
Yeah. She, I think, just got other people's, like, dry cleaning and stuff.
I don't know. I was so confused about where she was getting clothes.
She was acquiring other people. It was, like, very clearly she took them out of a laundromat or something.
Yeah.
Was stealing them in some way. Somehow acquired a black lacy thong. I was like, Matilda.
Matilda.
What's your game, Matilda? I thought that the henchmen in this were so, so funny.
Oh my god. The game of corrupt cops were 100%, all of them were high.
Yeah.
So.
All the time.
Right? So they're all high, and they were amazing.
They were so funny. I mean, like, that dreadlock guy, and then, and even, well, I'm gonna expand, like, anyone who is clearly a henchman of someone. Because even when they're practicing with the rifle, and she shoots that guy who's running with the paintball thing, which I was under the impression was real bullets, until I was like, oh, he's not dead. And I was like, he's fine. I was like, what? Those men who surrounded him in Central Park who were just posing. this is hilarious. All of these, any henchmen in this world are just completely useless at their job. And then even the SWAT guys at the very end.
They're like wearing belly clothes, which always makes me laugh. When
those are the weirdest ski masks I've ever seen.
Terrible. Like, provide nothing. And they were like, obviously, like, they were just not.
Yeah. What was. When Gary Oldman's like, give me everyone.
Bring me everyone.
Bring me everyone.
Everyone?
What do you mean? Everyone! I just thought that was hilarious. And then, because there's, oh my gosh, there is not a single policeman at any level in the entirety of Manhattan because they're all on this block.
I was so confused. Like, what does the paperwork say to be like, so you had this many people for how many? You just need to arrest one guy and a
12-year-old? And a girl. Not just one guy. There was a child.
Oh,
actually.
I forgot about the child. You're right. You did need 4 SWAT teams.
Well,
riot gear.
I think it's probably going to even out paperwork wise because at the end of the day, it'll be like, these are the casualties. And the building blew up. So, yep, all hands were on
right.
deck. They can kind of fudge that to, you know, cover their butts on that one, I think. But I really liked how when he shot him.
Who?
Gary Oldman shot Leon.
Oh, yeah.
I really loved how it's just like there wasn't the bang or anything. It was just from his point of view as he falls. That was beautiful. Just
I like the little flash, though.
Beautiful, yes.
Where it was like just that light where you're like, oh, no, that was just like in the back of your mind, you're like, oh, he's dead.
He's
and
dead.
Then, but like rationally, you're like, oh no, the sun just came out.
Like, yeah, just,
nope.
He's just stepping outside. I really love that because you knew he was going to die. You know,
yeah.
I'm just thinking, how on earth is he going to turn around and kill Gary Oldman? He's not. There's no way out of this. That was lovely. Poor little Natalie Portman.
Why? I think. So, apparently there's been rumors for years about doing a sequel to this.
Oh, no.
Well, the sequel would be, like, what happens to Matilda?
No.
I doubt it'll ever happen.
No.
But what
no.
do you think happens to Matilda? Do you think she becomes a cleaner?
No, I don't think so. I think she becomes pretty savvy and stuff. I hardly even doubt that she'll, after a couple years, even keep going back to Tony for her allowance. I honestly think that it's, like, when she plants the plants.
Yeah.
It's like, she's putting down roots. I think she's gonna be like, you know what? I think she knows a good thing when she sees it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think she's gonna stay in whatever shady school establishment this is and just kind of, like, start a different life path.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think she's going to become a cleaner. I don't think she's going to become in the mob or anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, I highly doubt it.
Yeah.
As much as I would love to see,
as
much as the idea of an assassin mentor, Natalie Portman, as much as I would love to see that, absolutely not. Hollywood, no. Debbie Rolfe forbids it.
I want Natalie Portman to
by all means, please cast Natalie Portman as like a badass assassin.
Well, I want
her, just not Matilda.
Okay. Well, fine. All right. So I want a movie that's not.
Yeah, you want Matilda.
Well, I would think it would be cool for Natalie Portman to be the sensei. To be the professional.
It would.
And then have a another little girl and the cycle starts again. And then Natalie Portman kicks them. But.
And then we got another 12-year-old
girl.
But this is just, like, this cannot have a sequel.
No, it can't. I don't think it ever would. But yeah. I'm always just like, every time I watch this, I'm always just like, it is an ending that, like, makes me happy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't sit there and I'm like, oh, you know, I wonder what happens. It is ending, I'm
content. You're like, she's gonna be okay.
Right, you know, like, she's okay.
Yeah.
And especially when she immediately tells the truth to her teacher.
Yeah.
Or she's like...
And I couldn't tell at first if the teacher believed her.
I couldn't either. I still can't.
Yeah.
I've seen it a couple times.
I'm assuming she does to some degree.
I feel like if you... She knows her.
Yeah.
And I feel like the way that her voice changed from, like, the, oh, well, gee, mister.
Yeah.
I went to
She goes, listen.
Right. And I think she was like, all right, like, meh. But this is the truth she's telling me.
I wonder what the school is, though.
I think it's like a boarding school kind of thing.
It seems like a boarding school. She
or
took
like
the,
a school for troubled kids.
What tram thing? It's in Queens, right?
No, I don't know where that tram
where
thing
does
goes.
Well, I mean, because we started on the tram thing and both of us just went, we should do that! We should take the tram sky thing! Oh my gosh. I'm just gonna, briefly look up if they say what this is.
It's like St. George's, maybe? I thought it was the Roosevelt Island tram.
Yeah, I think it was. The school's not on Roosevelt Island. And according to Wikipedia, it says, like, I'm just going to read from the plot description, that Matilda lives with her dysfunctional family in an apartment down the hall. Her abusive father and self-absorbed stepmother have not noticed that she's stopped attending classes at her school for troubled girls.
Hmm.
Which is what they say. And then at the very end, it's like she returns to the school and meets with the headmistress who readmits her. So, which is no help at all to me. This is going to require further research. Because I'm just so curious the nature of this school. And if her dad is that abusive, then, like, how did her tuition get paid for? Unless Natalie Portman figured out how to do that herself, which I wouldn't put it past her. She's an incredibly savvy young lady.
Well, she had, like, 20 grand sitting
under the floorboards.
Yeah. I mean, her dad is a drug dealer.
Yeah.
They have money.
Yeah.
But just not, like, a high-class drug dealer.
Yeah.
So,
kind of, like, could be gone. They have a lot of money in just cash.
Right.
You know? And it's, like, you know, people who live based on cash, it's, like, they are never wealthy. Because just the nature of that, you can't ever save or invest if you operate on cash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
This has been Financial Tips.
This is, yeah. We just had a segment in the last episode. What was it? Oh, so... Self-defense with Debbie.
Oh, yeah.
Self-defense tips for this one, guys. I'm sorry.
I was so ready to get the theme song.
I know. I was, well, just because when they were teaching her and stuff, I was like, oh, I can't think of any self-defense.
I will say, I love montages.
This was a good training montage.
It was! And the montage was intersected with cleaning. Which are my favorite montages, where they're like...
Tidy up the house.
Well, no, I love the montages where it's like, just like the, we need to get down to business.
Oh.
But we also need to keep our lives in order
montage. She's wanting to clean.
Right.
So then they show her cleaning.
Right.
And she's like, ha?
I love the I just love those where they're like, you know, like 400 crunches. And they're like, and then hit the bunny back. Well, then make sure you tidy up your kitchen and then eat some dinner. Like, just in case you're watching this and you're like, I wonder if they ever do the, oh, look, she's doing the laundry.
Yeah. Like, I was like,
I love
a good montage.
I love montages.
Like, nothing beats the makeover montage, though.
No! I really love a good montage. I think
this is a good one.
It just makes me giggle every single time. Okay. But a makeover is amazing.
Yeah.
Especially when they're like, we can't decide on what their style is.
Yeah.
So then it's like...
It's like, oh, this could go in a couple different directions. Right? Is she going to be classy? Is she going to be sexy when she comes out of this?
And there's like, always one where they're like, make her a punk. And I'm like, no.
Don't make her a punk.
Like, why?
The answer is never, let's make her a punk.
No, but, like, they always throw one that's like
hey. Yeah, let's try it. Right. Let's try it. It could work this time. And it's like, never mind. Tangent, we should wrap this up.
All right.
Okay, so three things you need to know about the professional. I think you should know that it's like the whole assassin thing. You need to know. Yeah?
Yeah. That's not how you spell assassin?
No, it's close.
You'll
know what you mean.
Yes. I think that's good to know that it's, he is a professional.
Yeah, a professional assassin and his protege.
His protege. There's a story of...
His little mentee.
Right. I think you need to know that this is it's a French film, I guess you could say, because Luc Besson is French.
Yeah, it has that feel.
Yeah.
Like, it's set in New York, but it's not a New York film.
No, I'd say it's a French film that is set in New York,
yeah.
Or it's a French New York...
Because I think you do need to know that it's in New York, but it's not a New York film, no. You know? I think maybe the third thing should just be, like, Leon as a character, his nature.
Mm-hmm.
Just that it is very childlike, that he's not some, like, world-hardened, like, battle-weary assassin. He is a child, you know?
Yeah.
He's a good guy. He loves Matilda.
You say that, and then I'm like...
I'm saying that as in, like, the father-daughter relationship, which is how I choose to view it, is that she has taught him how to have feelings for a person instead of his plant. Because when he was, like, describing the plant, I was like, it's my best friend. Where it's like, oh, he feels like he felt for the plant towards a person now.
But if he got... If they both escaped scot-free...
Yeah.
They were obviously going to have a relationship.
No. No. They were going to be a father and daughter.
Okay.
It's nice where I live. Don't come in here and change things.
You come into my house.
You come into my house, Ashley.
I'm sorry, that was rather rude of me. All right, I'm sorry. Okay. So, even if they both managed to get free, they were just going to have a lovely time.
Yep. I think he was going to, like, teach her how to be an assassin for real.
Yeah.
Yeah. They would
she
have...
She would get to knives.
Yeah, they would... Yeah, she would have gotten to knives, or they would have quit the game completely. I think it would have gone either extreme. But, I mean, as, like, settle much of like, there would have been either extreme, but we all know there was no white picket fence in that feature. No. So, she would have gotten to knives, I think. I like that. I like how you said that. Where it's like you would have trained her, she would have gotten to knives. Like, yep. She never got past sniper rifle.
Well, maybe they did. Because Tony was like, hey, it's been a long time. Oh. That's the thing. The time in this movie is very weird.
Well, yeah.
And especially since Matilda doesn't have any other clothes.
Yeah.
So she really never changes her outfit for quite a while.
Yeah. So but then when she was talking to the headmistress, it kind of sounded like it could have just been a couple of weeks, you know?
Oh.
I don't know. Timeline was weird.
Yeah.
But, anyway, so that was The Professional.
Whoop.
And, like we said, August is the last month where we'll be doing two episodes, and we'll get back to our normally scheduled three. Mm-hmm. So, going back, because we're alternating now, we're going to be doing one that neither of us has seen, and August 1st, we're going to have our year anniversary as a podcast. Yay! So, we're watching Aliens. Which, I tried to make it very clear that it was... I was trying to make it very clear that it was the plural, multiple aliens. Aliens. But anyway, we're watching Aliens because our very first episode last August was Alien, singular alien. and which neither of us had seen. And right. So now with our university, we're going to watch the second one, which neither of us... We still have only seen Prometheus and Alien in the right. whole franchise. Like, nothing has really changed in a year. Because we've been watching all these other ones instead. So yeah, for our year anniversary, we're going to watch the second Alien film.
Yeah. Yep. So...
This is Ben.
You haven't seen!
I'm Debbie.
And I'm Ashley. Thank you so much for listening. And as always, be sure to rate and review us on iTunes. You can check us out on Twitter at YHS_podcast. You can check us out on Tumblr at youhaventseen.tumblr.pod.
youhaventseen-podcast.tumblr.com. We got it. And we'll see you next time.
Woo!
Woo!